Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Think Tank. Here we have conversations about everything. And during our time together, we aim to awaken the mind, energize the body, and connect the spirit. I am Sequita, and I'm here with my earthly lord and fabulous co-host, James.
Fabulous. You hear? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Now, hey, everybody, how you doing? So excited to be here for episode 3 of season 3, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for making us your go-to podcast for all things superhero. We're excited to continue having conversations with you. Our topic for today is the law of identity. We're going to be talking about identity. This season is all about how to manifest the life you want, the law of attraction, the law of manifestation, and getting that stuff out there, getting that energy out there. So a couple of things we need to deal with along that journey that we're going to talk about as superheroes.
Yeah, and identity is definitely one of those things that need to be addressed in order before you could have the manifestation. If there's some false identity going on, it'll be hard for you to manifest what you do want when you're identifying incorrectly. And let me go into that a little bit, just on how it kind of came about. I was like going back in my own identity and how I start identifying myself with particular groups early on in life. For instance, to be a part of something, the guys that were drinking beer, quarts of beer, and hanging with them, and then you start identifying with those people, and those people who were started to smoke cigarettes, or those people who played basketball or football or soccer or did whatever, and then you take on that identity, and that may be okay for that time period, but then that time period moves, but you still take that identity with you to the next phase.
Absolutely.
And some of those identities you got out of crisis.
Absolutely.
So you have a crisis identity. Mm-hmm. For instance, so much turmoil was in my younger years that hanging out with the fellas, drinking and smoking Newports and other things, you start identifying with those things early on, maybe to mask a pain that was coming from the household of parents not being there together, or something else going on, some crisis that led you to do something that you normally wouldn't do, all right? And now, all of a sudden, you're continuing to identify with this crisis identity when the crisis is now over.
Absolutely. And, you know, that identity is a key factor in every person's life, because I think we all go through those stages of where we're really trying to discover and find ourselves, because we're taught that I gotta know this, what's my identity? And we get so used to, like you said, living in certain identity roles that we begin to play in life because of whether it's a crisis, whether it's this is just who everybody else is,
this is a society,
I'm masking some kind of pain. And, you know, what happens is instead of attracting to us the life we want, we start repelling our actual desires and wants, and we start attracting the life other people want for us, or other people think is the right thing for us, or we attract the lives of those that we are hanging out with because we're borrowing identity.
Yes.
And you know, you can get caught up in borrowing identity so much so that you begin to shape that as your own reality and think that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to live. I've seen people borrow marriage identity, work identity, body identity, you know, everything that we see that this is what is what I'm supposed to be because it looks good, feels good, is working for everybody else. We begin to borrow those identities and take those on. But when we look at the definition of identity in and of itself, the identity by definition means it is the fact of being who or what a person or a thing is. Now, that's just the general definition. Mm-hmm, is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Meaning, when it's really true identity, it can't lie. Because it is the fact of being. It is the fact of being who or what you are. And I think we get stuck into who we are. But y'all know my thing about that what we are.
What?
We don't go into what we are enough because we're continually describing or allowing other people to describe who we are. And you can live your life as an adjective or you can live your life as a fact of being. You can live your life as a noun, meaning that I am constant, I'm concrete, I'm real, and that's who, this is my authentic being. And that's a big difference.
It's a big difference. And I think where a lot of people get messed up is early on is when we start getting identifying ourselves with different things. And if there's not someone there to correct that, the what we are, say a parent, and you're out there acting up and hanging with the wrong people and doing the wrong things, and someone's there to correct that. Oh, no, that's not what we do. That's not who you are.
Right.
That's not how you act. This is how you act. You're not this. This is what you are. And then so to shift your identity, or those who have a higher power that can shift your identity because you're connected to a higher power and you realize within yourself, no, this is not what I am. This is not who I am. But there has to be something there. And I think the reason people get lost is because early on when these identities that we take on are not corrected, we just go on through life not correcting accepting identities. And so you're accepting something at 50 that you also accepted at 10.
Absolutely. But you're not 10.
You're not 10.
Right.
And you don't have a 10-year-old's problems. You don't have a 10-year-old's opportunities. All right. So you can't utilize those same things.
Absolutely. And that's the cool thing. You know, it kind of reminds me of, for me, you are, who you are is my husband. But what you are is my earthly Lord. Now, I can continue to, I have the option to just live life out of the who you are and say, oh, you know, this is just my husband. He's my husband. He's my husband. He's my husband. But that would be frustrating because husbands, you know, just stay in one dimension. So I decided that, you know, we're not just going to live life out of that. For me, early on, one of the reasons I started saying, you know, that what you was my earthly Lord, because I looked at everything that Lord entails. And, you know, when David started saying in the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. I knew that I would live a life of not having to be in want and lack of attention, affection, love. So, you know, what you are is my earthly Lord, and who you are is my husband. But at any time you might not feel like being a husband, but what you are, you always have to be the covering. You always have to be my earthly Lord. You always have to be, you know, by reason of the fact of I've taken that responsibility. And so when we bring that together, that identifying factor for us,
this is good.
Changes the dynamic of how we do marriage. Because at any moment, anybody can get upset and say whatever, but you cannot change and stop being what you are, even when you don't feel like being who you are.
Okay, so let me share with you how impactful it is to go from husband to earthly Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was married once before at an early age, early on my first military thing. And so I wasn't a good husband. Okay. So just the fact that you get to call husband doesn't make you good. But the fact, so identifying with husband doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I'm about to be a good husband for you.
Right.
But the fact that you are the only person to call me my earthly Lord had me identifying with something that was inside of me that I wasn't aware of, being connected to the Lord, that made me a higher being, made me resonate a higher self and want to go into this marriage, this relationship, and even my own thought processes in a higher calibration. The same thing with my thoughts about the marriage and the thoughts about myself.
Right.
Because when you call me your earthly Lord, man, I'm feeling superhero-ish. You know what I'm saying?
We superheroes.
The Lord
over
got
here.
You, baby. Yeah. The Lord got you.
But you know, I think we do have that ability to bring out, to help people unlock their higher self.
Yes.
And you know, that's why it starts with us. We have to begin to unlock our higher level of consciousness, because as creatures of being and spirit, we have the ability to continually evolve. And so when we think about identity, we to just live at one level of the who, to just live at one level of identity, is doing ourselves a disservice when I'm so much more and can be so much more than what I started out as 2 and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And as I grow and my group changes, my circle changes, my influence changes, not just what's influencing me, but what I begin to influence changes. And when you look at that, my influence is changing, then a higher level of consciousness comes with that. If you say, now I have a responsibility to what I'm influencing to give my best out there, and that best can't come from a faulty identity, and it can't come from a borrowed identity either. It has to come from authentic identity. That's why in psychology, one of the definitions that we have for identity in psychology, it is the qualities, beliefs, the personality, and the looks or expression of the person that makes
the
person.
Yes.
You know, and that's a psychological identifier when we say this, what are your qualities? What are your beliefs? Because that's what's really identifying you. And people who walk around saying, I'm not living the life that I want to live, I ask them, what are your identifiers? What are your beliefs? Because that's what's identifying what's coming in your electromagnetic field, because what you believe on the inside of you identifies with you from the universe, and it says, oh, I'm supposed to be with that person because it believes I'm supposed to be.
And that's so good when you talked about, because things that show up on the outside as far as your identity. So if you believe something, whatever you believe on the inside shows up on the outside as far as what you identify with.
Absolutely.
So if you identify yourself with the high school girl or guy that was nerdy, that people didn't like, that was to yourself, and then you go on in life and you try to continue to live out of that role, you're still going to have the same issues at 33 that you had at 16 and a sophomore.
Right.
That's why when people, like, we all have a lot of Facebook friends, right? Mm-hmm. And so people contact you, man, I ain't heard from so-and-so in 20 years, 30 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And be like, man, but they don't know you.
Right.
They knew you. They knew that person. And hopefully you're still not the same person. You may physically look the same, but you should not be the same person you was in 10th grade. You should not be the same person you was as a senior. So a lot of times, even with myself, okay, one of my friends' mom, Tyrone Williams, his mom called up and was like, Jimmy, you was a preacher? Oh my God.
Yes.
I thought you were dead or in jail or something, because they identify with who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And but she's right. That person is dead.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And being willing to sacrifice that person of who I was so I could become what I am becoming. I could experience what I'm becoming. That's a big thing. And that's the thing that what I like about Jesus, because he was so willing to come here in the earth and experience all of what he could become, to so much so to the point where he's asleep on the boat, and the people are panicking because a storm is awry, and he gets up and he says, peace be still. The first thing they say is not, who is this? They say, what manner of man is this? Because there's something different that comes out in your expression when your identity goes past borrowed. It goes past your history of yourself and all of your mistakes that you made in the past. It goes past the reference points of failed relationships and things that we got wrong, or you know, even the things that we don't like about ourselves. It goes past the mirror.
Even our families.
Even our
families. We identify with our families, or we identify as black, and we don't do this in our culture, and we don't do this because we're Caucasian in this culture, or even beyond that, on the East End. You know, on the East End, we don't do this on the East End. On the West Side, no, that's not how we operate on the West Side.
Oh, my goodness. When I can't tell you how much that bothers me. Yeah, because like, people think, oh, you're this color, you're not supposed to do this. And I often tell people, I don't identify like that, you know, because I am a being. And that being in me gives me unlimited possibilities. And understanding that there's an unlimited amount of possibilities in us that we can begin to evolve and we can learn and unlearn things. And sometimes you learn new things, but that is a requirement to unlearn. When you want to attract something different in your world, you have to unlearn what you learned that attracted what you've been getting that you don't want. Because walking around saying that I don't want that anymore is not going to make it leave.
It's going to make it show up.
It's going to continue to make it show up. So unlearning, unlearning that identifying factor that says, here I am, this is who I am, this is what I like in my field, this is what I like in my space, that's the thing that changes it. And so that's why another part of identity is what we call perceived identity. And you know, y'all, this is my thing right here about this perception. Perception is everything when you are responding to environment. And because there's a difference between responding and reaction, because you can either respond with your ability or you can just spend your life reacting to everything. And there's a different set of emotions that come with reacting, because when you're reacting, you're always in that fight or flight mode. And so your nervous system is already always all over the place. But when you respond, that means you've tapped into your awareness and you've tapped into your ability to choose.
Yes.
And when you tap into your ability to choose, you are being at that very moment what you were created to be, which is the most divine, intelligent form of yourself here in the earth realm. And you are then being, when you're choosing, you are an expression of God in the earth.
That's so good. So that whole choosing thing, mm-hmm. So that means you can disidentify.
Yes.
You
know what
I mean? Stop identifying with this, mm-hmm. or change how you even view how you are identifying yourself and become something new.
Yeah.
And the reason when you brought up Jesus and in the boat and being able to be different totally than everything else, that was a choice.
Yes, it was a choice.
It was a choice. Now, yes. Look, I can dumb myself down and just go along with everyone else, mm-hmm. and fall in line with the programming of what they're saying.
Yes.
Or I can identify with something higher on the inside of myself that is wanting to be birthed out. But yet here, we consciously abort the God in us because we want to stay connected to the man in us.
Absolutely.
So we want to be so connected with men so they will like me, with mm-hmm. women so they will like me, so industry so the industry could like me, so the people on my job can like me. Like me or not, I have to be the real authentic me.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I'm just going to be your puppet on the job, your puppet in the bedroom, your puppet at the house, and your puppet in the black community, white community, Chinese community,
yes.
entrepreneur community, whatever community that is. Be your authentic, true self.
Yes.
And then you're going to see true success, and you're going to get authentic, true people in your life because you attract what you truly are.
Yes, yes. I got stuck a little bit on that puppet in the bedroom.
Okay. Oh, hey, we could... what? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's right over there.
Right. So...
if you want to stop. Okay.
So, I'm just saying, I think we should explore that.
Yeah, I'm sweating.
Some more later. But when you have that perceived identity,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, it doesn't matter whether people like you or not. But what I've come to find out is that it's not that people don't like us. People like truth. People like real. People like authentic. They like what they can relate to. But the reality is most people don't like themselves. And,
yes.
and so when yes. we think that people are not going to like me if I do this, it's because somewhere in that thinking, you already don't like yourself, or you don't like yourself doing this thing,
mm-hmm.
because for whatever reason, it may make you uncomfortable. Like for me, I certain things make me uncomfortable as far as being out in public or public speaking. Those things are more uncomfortable for me. So there's an automatic thinking that, oh, somebody may not like this, but the reality is, it's not about the other person. It's about your own perceived identity. And in psychology, perceived identity is, it relates to one's self-image about themselves, their mental self-image and how they hold themselves and the self-esteem they put on themselves. Now, self-esteem and self-concept is two different understandings, because self-esteem is about the value I place on my gifts and who I am and what I can do. The self-concept of myself is the understanding of my qualities and seeing, do I have any? What does that look like? And it's when you think you don't have anything to offer. Mm-hmm. But we want to remind you,
yes,
that you have a whole lot
a
to
whole
offer
lot.
Because you are a God being. That's what we talked about in our last podcast. You are a God being, and God is limitless. And so you have a whole lot to offer. There's a whole lot that wants to be expressed through you. And learning your way of expression, learning your identifying expression is okay to do, because it just may not be like everybody else, and that's okay. People will like what you have to bring. I think that's what I'm learning. It is, you know, when you start changing your mental perception of yourself, you will change other people's perceived identity of you, because something different now, you're giving off a different energy, and energy has so much to do with the identifying factors. It's kind of like what you were saying, when you were growing up and you were part of a gang, or you growing up and you being a bad boy, you know, there's an energy that goes with that bad boy. So
I
much so
attracted those things,
yeah,
whether it was being physical harm coming back, or whether it was being, you know.
Yeah, because like I remember us going to something we went to, but the, and you were grown and you were not even living a bad boy lifestyle, but the residue of that identity can be a part of you so much because it's your energy. And the lady, the officer automatically said to you, You're a bad boy, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you were like, no, not anymore. But that energy you give off is how everyone will perceive you. And just because you have a little thug in you doesn't mean that everybody should get an energy where they got to be cautious of you,
yes,
or they got to be coming away from you. Because if you're building life, you're building business, you're saying, I want to do something different with how I am influencing my children or what's around me, then that means that energy has to have your identity in it as well. And when you have an identity of love, which is what we all are, when you have an identity of peace, which is what we all are and can be, then that energy also comes off in your circle and in your life and around you. And that can be your identity. You know, it doesn't have to be my family name, my culture, understanding.
Yes,
it doesn't have to be my ethnic
yes.
understanding.
Yes.
Our identity can be the fact of what we are. And what I like to tell people all the time, what I am is holy. What I am is righteous. What I am is eternal. What I am is beautiful. I am a being first, and then I am a human that's being, which means that I'm a God being. I'm a different species. That's what we are. That's what I believe.
And I believe the same. And with that being said, whether you believe it or not, it could still be true.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Whether you believe it or not, it could still be true. And so with that, there's something on the inside of every person, whether they know it or not, that has the ability to create.
Absolutely.
It's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah.
We all have the ability to create.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like where you are right now, if you don't like who you are right now, if you don't like the things in your environment, in your space, you can change that right now by creating in your mindset, in your thoughts, patterns of what you do want, things that are positive, things that are good, things that are loving, and those things will start being attracted to you.
Absolutely.
Right? You'll start attracting love. You'll start attracting good things. You'll start attracting success. If you think of yourself as successful, stop identifying yourself with the situation you are in, even if you're in a situation right now like a pandemic.
Right.
I don't have to identify myself as in a panic mode.
Absolutely.
Or in a in in disarray.
So you can be nice in a pandemic.
Yes.
You can be cool to hang around with in the pandemic. You can still be giving in the pandemic.
I can be at peace,
yes,
in a pandemic.
Yes.
I can be profitable in,
absolutely,
a pandemic. And we can be sharing,
yes,
love with others.
That's right.
In the midst of anything.
That's
and not
right.
succumb to whatever it is.
At the same time, you can be angry, you can be irritable, you can be hard to get along with, you can be impossible to talk to during this time, you can be broke during this time, you can be whatever you want to be. So if you can be whatever you want to
choose.
Be, you, why not be profitable? Why not be loved? Why not be happy? Why not be energetic? Why not be healthy? You can be healthy. I know we've been through it too.
Yeah.
I know the snacking is there.
COVID gained 19. That's what happened to me. COVID gained,
right,
19.
Right. But
I'm working on it though.
But there's got to be a moment when you wake up and you say, you know what, this is not my identity.
This
is not a part of who I am. I can still do something different. I can work out. I can walk. I can eat less. I can change what I'm buying. Or, you know, so there are things that we can do to be able to do something different. And when we understand that, I think you talked about when you start recognizing that this is not my identity anymore. This is no longer serving me.
Yes.
It's no longer serving me. And that's a really key factor because, you know, even scripture talks about you can serve God or mammon. You can serve a life or death. You can serve whichever one. And so this is no longer serving me. And so how are you going to serve yourself for the rest of your life? You got to choose that. How am I going to serve myself through the different stages of my life? And I am choosing, and I would like to invite you to start choosing to serve good.
Yes.
You know, oh, taste and see that, yes, the Lord is good. And that's another reason I call you my earthly Lord, because I only wanted to taste good in our relationship. And so knowing that, that was my desire, to taste good, to see good, to be fed good,
girl,
to be supplied,
I'm thinking,
for good.
I want to taste good too. I'm saying.
Okay. So,
yes.
So understanding that.
Let me get a taste.
That right there. That right there. That,
yes,
good, you know, mm-hmm, and understanding that that good is there. So.
Oh, it's there.
You can do that in your identity. So changing roles.
We can change roles too. It's all good. It's all good.
So. I think that's what's meant by understanding and having a good self-identity,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't come from somewhere else, a borrowed state of being. And so that's when we start living in that authentic state of being, when we begin to, you know, change those roles.
Yeah.
How do you actually change that role?
Well,
like for you?
For me, it's identifying first that this no longer serves me. That was,
mm-hmm,
good right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if I no longer like peas, lima beans, whatever, I'm not going to continue to serve that to myself,
mm-hmm,
and I probably won't even offer it to others. So I had to look at myself and different traits and say, why is this even here anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this come from? When did you start doing this? So I go all the way back to my childhood and say, oh, daddy left. Oh, power went out.
Mm.
Oh, things happened. Oh, and so a coping mechanism is hanging with someone that could identify with those things,
mm-hmm,
and doing things that take you away from that, or being tough.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to be tough then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But here you are, you might have had to been tough in sixth grade. You might have had to be tough in kindergarten or whenever that time was, but it's no longer that time. So do you still have to carry this tough persona, or can you say, you know what? This is no longer serving me, being the tough guy, being the fighter, being the cusser, being the drug abuser, being the womanizer, being promiscuous, being whatever it is that you no longer desire to be, that's not serving you anymore, and say, well, what would I like to be then?
You know what? I really like that. That when you have to go back and take that inventory and evaluation. So what about the person that says, though, I like what I'm doing. You know, I like the taste of alcohol. I like getting high. I, mm-hmm, like what it's doing for me. Even though they may look around their life and not see where they want to be. They also are functioning in this. You know how some people have adapted so much until we start functioning in our dysfunction. And I'm still holding down a job with this, and I'm still getting money with this, and I'm still doing this. So it's not really bothering me. It's just, you know, hey, it's what I'm doing. It's what I like to do. So how do you, how does that person recognize when, okay, but it's still time to...
I got an answer for that.
Okay.
I got an answer for that. Because I'm still holding down... I mean, I can identify with this. You know what I'm saying? All right. I'm still holding down a job. I'm still doing... I bought a house and I'm still doing this. Well, so is the person who's paralyzed from the neck down.
Wow.
They holding a job, but their progress is paralyzed, and theirs could be from something that happened that was not their fault, and there's not much more they can do about it but have a positive attitude. Now, you are where you are right now, and you holding it down, but where would you be if you took away those paralyzing things?
Absolutely.
How much further along could you be?
Mm-hmm.
How much more education could you have? How many more wise decisions can you make if you're doing something different?
Absolutely.
Sure, you can function on stuff. Man, doctors are functioning on pills that they take and prescribing for other people.
Come through.
Right?
Yes.
So that don't mean nothing, but they're going to die just like a person who was in the back alley with a needle in his arm.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it's not about because you can function with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's identifying the fact that, is this serving my highest and best person?
Absolutely.
How much far along could I be? How many more people could I help? While helping myself in my family and in society as a whole. If you start with you creating the world that you want, you will start seeing that world birth out of you and into others and creating environments that are conducive for you. So yeah, sure, you can function with it.
Absolutely.
But can you function at a high capacity? Are you functioning as a Hyundai or are you functioning as a Maybach?
Okay, I agree.
From way back.
I think that's good. And I think that's even relative to relationships, because you can get to the point where you just complain about the person and you can keep functioning and just being married. Or you can take away those paralyzing mechanisms and say, you know what, instead of me continually vicing myself up, drugging myself up, changing the stimulus, instead of me continually ignoring what I really need to deal with, I can take that same energy and invest it into the person that I'm with. I can take that same energy and invest it into the atmosphere. I can take that same energy and invest it into myself so I can attract the person that I'm supposed to be with, instead of continually turning around complaining or using busyness, using things, using vices to ignore or to dumb down the senses of what it is. I can change the identifying factor.
Because it's not just alcohol and drugs and stuff. It could be shopping. It could be eating. It could be
walls.
It could be negative conversations.
Yes.
It could be any of those things that are stopping you from going further than what you could be.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely.
Just because you think, oh, well, shoot, they smoke weed. Okay, well, you eat a whole pie. Right?
Absolutely.
What? So,
absolutely.
I mean, both of y'all got something going on.
Right.
All right.
Right,
it's just different something.
So, yeah, that's why we can't judge.
That may not, it's not serving.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want y'all to get stuck. Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke.
Yeah.
I don't go to a club. All right. Well, so. There's things that doesn't have nothing to do with that kind of stuff that you could be doing that could not be serving you.
Right.
How many pairs of shoes do you need?
And two, we'll still stay stuck in life, in places, in our relationships with perceived identity of that relationship, instead of creating what it is, what it should be, and developing a philosophy that allows your world to run like you and your spouse wanted to. And that right there is beautiful, because when you please God, and I'm not talking about the God up there, I'm not talking about what we consider him as, this person in the sky. I'm talking about the God that is within us. I'm talking about the resident consciousness of unlimited possibility that abides on the inside of you and I, that divine intelligence.
possible.
I'm talking about that God. That God that Amen. Says, you know what? You love the Lord your God with all your heart, yes. soul, and mind. I'm yes. talking about that God that says, I'm loving myself. And so when I do love myself to the place of authenticity, then what I give out is a true, authentic love that touches somebody else and begins to shape what I am. And so that when I have to move through the cycles of who I am, whether that who I am is a mom, a dad, an employee, or a brother, sister, when I'm moving through those cycles of who I am, what I am remains so constant, so concrete, so truthful, so energizing, so available to whatever the universe wants to express through me, that I begin to unlock realms of possibilities, and I begin to move in a potential that says, I'm so worth the best. Yes. So I attract the best. Yes. I have a life that's so amazing, so yes. I attract amazing. That I am love, so I attract love. That I am light, so I attract light. I am a good opportunity, so I attract good opportunities. I am a good investment for somebody, so I attract good investments. So whatever I begin to identify my amness as, then that is the isness that begins to show up in my world. And so when we do that, then we begin to use the law of identity in a positive way. So I'm excited about that.
I can tell, and that's so good. And I'm glad that you brought it back to relationships. And it doesn't have to be these type of relationships, like husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend type. It could be all relationships. Mm-hmm. You could create the type of relationship you want first by in your thought process of what is it I want to see. And if you are in a relationship like this, hey, let's sit down and create the relationship I want. And by, it starts by liking myself.
Yeah.
Okay. When you said love your, because how can you love your neighbor like yourself? Because if you don't love yourself right, you won't love your neighbor right.
Yes.
And right now, this is my neighbor. She's right next to me.
Absolutely.
So if I want to love her right, first I got to love myself right, mm-hmm. and find that in me. And I can do that just by changing my thought process, mm-hmm. about who I thought I was, because what I went through or what I've been through, and I'm talking to you because you've been through something.
Yes.
You went through something. You have situations. You have past that you bring up. But you can go back in that past and redefine what it is, mm-hmm. all right? And you could just say, you know what? I had to do that as a coping mechanism for that right then, but I don't have to cope with it right no more because I'm no longer in it.
Right.
So come out of that PTSD about that thing that mm-hmm. happened back then and get into a land over here where we're creating, you know what? I got the most beautiful spouse on the planet. She's sexy, but she's more than that. She's intelligent, but she's more than that.
Absolutely.
She's loving, but she's more than that. She's caring, but she's more than that. She's mine, but she's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
She belongs to all the earth to give out the love that she has so they can have love and share that with everyone else. But it starts, you got to get that in your mind, and you may not be able to get that into your mind until you hear a conversation of someone else that brings it out to you know it's a possibility.
Absolutely.
Because all things are possible to them that believe. And how can they hear? All right, we need to be sent, so you could hear it, so you can adhere to it.
Oh, you're so
give me
amazing.
Some sugar, girl.
I love you so much.
Woo!
So yes, that is our conversation for today, and we are so excited to talk to you and just to get to connect with you. And so we hope that you connect with us and stay connected with us, and you can do that at any time by checking out our podcast on Google, Apple, Spotify, RadioCast, Pocket Cast, Overcast, anywhere podcasts are. And remember to, after you listen, remember to become a subscriber.
Yes, well, this is because you'll be able to get notified. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a new podcast out. And
for those of you who are going to be watching this on the live video, please like and share as well.
Yes.
And so we never like to leave our podcast without positive affirmation and just being able to breathe that energy in. I'm a very big fan of meditation and breathing and energy, because I am an energy and perception coach. And so that's what we practice here in our daily habit. We practice good energy. We practice breathing and meditation. We practice loving each other all the time. And so we
And it's not spooky.
No.
All right, I want y'all to know that, because I used to think it's kind of some spooky stuff. You know what I mean? Because I would only last 1 minute and be like, man, this is kind of hokey pokey. You know, but when you get in there and you start meditating and saying to yourself, you know, I am love.
Yes.
I'm good. I'm capable. I'm shining. I have value. I have value to give. And you start identifying the world is good. My life is good.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, setting your intentions for the day. And as you do that, you feel good. And you the intentions you set will come out. So give it a try.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. And meditation is not prayer, but it influences better prayer, I believe, because a lot of people pray to know. And I don't, when you start meditating, you don't pray to know. You pray because you already have the answer. And you pray because you do have the answer.
You are the answer.
And so, and you actually, you are the answer. And so you pray to be thankful for what you already know. You know that it's going to be all right. You know that it's going to be good. You know that your best is coming into the universe and into your hand. And so you pray because you know that. And so breathe that in right where you are as we get ready to do our affirmations. And so, yes. Deep breath, release it. I am a being of possibility. I am a being of love. I am a being of positive energy. I am a being of righteous thoughts. I am a being of beauty. And what I am is amazing. I want you to say that throughout your day, reminding yourself that you are a being of possibilities and that what you are is amazing.
You're amazing.
That's our time. Thank you for having this conversation with us.
You.
Yes, you. You are amazing. Remember that superheroes save lives and
we start with our own.
Bye.
Take care. Love you.